This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
Yeah, you're welcome to On The Wire. And on this week's show, we're giving you away five pairs of tickets to Fairy House at the end of the month. That's for the big Bar One sponsor day where they have three grade one races. And we've given away five pairs of tickets. And it is a question that you're going to have to answer that involves our special guest today, Sean Flanagan, who is currently laid low, but hoping to be back, give or take, sometime around Christmas. We also have Brendan Duke and Johnny MacDonald from Bar One Racing. I'm going to go straight over to you, Sean Flanagan. How are you keeping? You cracked vertebrae in your back earlier on this month in a schooling session, I believe.
Yeah, schooling session, just one of those simple little things. A schooling session that I would have probably thought at the time that was going quite well. Everything was great. I was jumping away. It was all grand. And it was the last fence. And he's just gone down, got a little bit deep and caught the top of it and turned over. And, it, you know, it's one of those falls, even that as it was happening, I was like, oh, well, it's fine. It's soft enough fall. And I just landed a bit awkwardly. And I suppose instantly knew that I was probably in a spot of bother, you know.
Do you have real fears in your head when something like that, when it's your back and you're wondering how bad could this be?
And I suppose not necessarily. Like, I was rolling around a bit and I was like, this is sore, you know. So I sat there for a few minutes and gathered my thoughts, and I'm a bit like, I know, like, that I've probably done something. But the fact that I got up and walked away also gives you the, you know, the, you don't kind of worry about too much. I suppose the initial thing that comes into, I'd say, 99% of jockeys' heads is how long?
Terms of your comeback, when do you reckon you might be back in the saddle then?
So it happened, it's 2 weeks ago on Wednesday. So I'm back to Paddy Kenny on Tuesday coming. That'll be 3 weeks. And his initial reaction was 6-8 weeks. But sure, my initial reaction is we'll cut a week or two or three off that. So I'm thinking 5 weeks, which would be kind of 3 weeks from now, you know. So hopefully that's the aim, and whatever, if we can get a bit, shave a bit off it, great. If not, obviously the main aim is to be back and try ride before the Christmas rush, as a sense. I'd like to ride a day or two before the Christmas festival starts. You know, I don't like kind of having your first ride back on a bigger day, but if that's the way it happens, that's the way it happens at the same time, you know.
And we're going to reflect with Sean, who's obviously based with Noel Mead near Navan, on 100 years of Navan. So it's a big, big festival for the track on Sunday, as they obviously have the Troughton race that Sean has won in the past as well. And we will talk about that. Brendan Duke, how are you?
Good form, thanks, Johnny.
We should probably just start with this John Warwick story that's been doing the rounds in racing. It was in the, there was a lot in kind of the Sunday papers last week. It's been covered in the Racing Post as well this week. And it's all very vague at this stage. But effectively, Juki, this wasn't it was further bad publicity for racing when it didn't really need it.
Well, it was indeed, Johnny. There's so much smoke around it. Like, nobody seems to know, because the significant thing is what medication was he using? Was he using performance enhancing substances or just substances for pain relief post whatever he was doing to their tendons? Now we're plumbing the depths of my ignorance here. I feel sorry for the people who've tuned in expecting answers, but I imagine you wouldn't treat a horse with a tendon problem with steroids. I guess you're trying to keep the weight off them, right? And I mean, I just have so many questions, but it seems that even the people who know about this in greater detail than me, I've tried to bone up a bit on it, they're guessing as well. And it all comes down to what he was using. Now, maybe the most significant thing there is that the feds are involved. So we can't underestimate this. I mean, they got Capone after all. So why are they getting in touch with the Irish authorities if it's just painkillers? I suppose that's the kind of nagging concern I have in the back of my mind. But I feel like a lot of this stuff with Kimmage, it's a lot of it smoke. Like the last time he came out with Bulger, when he was talking to Bulger, he said, oh, I'm hearing exactly the same things I heard when I said there was drugs in cycling, which is true, of course, but it's always going to be true. Whether there are drugs in sport or not, when someone raises the topic and says, oh, there's drugs in sport, they're going to say no. So that doesn't mean anything. Of course, people are going to say exactly the same thing, but you can't just conflate the two things like that. It seems like a lot of smoke to me, But again, I'm probably not the best man to talk to about it.
And what's fascinating for me, Johnny Mac, is that this seemed to be a tip-off from someone based in Britain in terms of looking into the yard, which was really, really fascinating.
Yeah, I found that interesting as well, Johnny. Who were the people supplying the or who asked for the raid to be made? Obviously, someone was supplying details, and he's by obviously that is only industry given the names that were there. So yeah, they've got to establish what was found. But it's a job. I went for a few drinks with a few of the lads Sunday night. They weren't discussing Cheltenham or Punchestown. They were discussing this, you know, that which is the kind of alarming thing.
That's predictable as well. And I suppose further interesting duty right. That there happened to be trainers there at the time. And, you know, trainers had to kind of say why they were there. Coolmore, they were wrong about Warwick's, you know, alleged links with Coolmore. And people had to be, I guess people had to come up with answers.
Yeah, but they had to come up with, but again, that's the thing. So I'm reading that Comerford, TJ Comerford, who's Aidan's travelling head lad, is that right? He had some horses going through there. But it seems perfectly reasonable to me that he would have said to Aidan, because he's just established in this place that he's bought, can I borrow one of the boxes? I mean, when you see the Coolmore battalions going down the road, well, of course, the garden stuff that's more valuable than what's in Fort Knox, so they should be. It should be quite a convoy. They'd have a spare box there, and Aidan probably said, Aidan seems like a good egg, and obviously Comfort's a good bit of manpower, probably said, borrow the box there, save you a few quid, rent a box of petrol or what, diesel, whatever they use. So it seems like there's perfectly reasonable explanations for all of this, but you can tilt it in a certain way, and this is the smoke again, where it looks very sinister. So my hunch is there's not much to this, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what's in the paper Sunday as well, because racing isn't covered necessarily in the best of lights at the moment in the Sunday papers. And in general, just on that, Sean, it's been a tricky year for racing in the midst of what Jim Bulger was saying. Like, have jockeys been talking about this? Because I know there was a lot of anger among the trainers, because obviously what Jim was saying hasn't been corroborated.
Do you know, there's been bits said about it, like, in around the way room, this and that and the other, but jockeys don't tend to really raise the flag on that one too much unless they're kind of brought into it, you know. Like, especially for us as jump riders, I suppose, Jim Bulger saying something about Aidan O'Brien or whoever he's realistically speaking about, does it really bother us? Probably not really. Like, I know it's bringing racing into a bad position, and if he had something to say, he should probably come out and say it and have it over and done with. But at the same time, he doesn't really bother us, like, you know.
And two young children in the background, particularly unbothered by all these allegations. There were some performance enhancers last weekend. We struck well with our naps. I had a winner at Dundalk. And Riviere d'Etel, obviously, Riviere d'Etel is obviously owned by our guest Noel Moran last week and was one of two very good winners. We're going to look back on Riviere d'Etel and Sharjah's performances from what was a very, very sparkling set of fixtures, really, yes, last weekend in Ireland. And Juki, this is all you expected and wanted it to be.
Yeah, she was brilliant. Jumped as well again as up in grade as she had in Fairy House, as you observed beforehand. She's settling a lot better in her races now. I mean, she's getting a lot of weight, granted. She's getting the mare's allowance. She's getting the four-year-old allowance. But Cape Gentleman is no mug, albeit he might want slightly further. And I mean, you could make a case that she'd have beat him at level weights. It was just a savage performance. Great for boy Noel Moran. We should give him a shout out. I mean, he comes on. We asked him about American Mike. We asked him about the boss's offer, Oscar. No faffing about with all of the not set in stone. He tells us what the plans are, and he only naps a winner as well. So we'd have him back. That's if he'll come back. Do you think he'll come back?
I think he will come back. I think he's enjoying his role in racing, and he's been unbelievable for the game in such a short space of time, Sean, hasn't he? He's becoming a serious power in your region with the Elliott horses.
Unbelievable, yeah. And you know, if he wants something, he goes and buys it. Fair play to him. And he seems very unfazed by if things don't go according to plan or wherever it may be. He's just in it for the love of the sport, and he's phenomenal, really. I wouldn't mind pulling on the colours a couple of times now.
Yeah, and maybe you will in the near future. Maybe if Noel Mead and Noel Moran can have a pint after racing in Avon on Sunday, maybe he can talk him around to bring a few horses over to Tuva. John McDonald, we're going to look back on Sharjah's performance in the big one. This turned into a fascinating three-runner race, and I know people are giving out a lot about small fields recently, but this was fascinating tactically. I was amazed at the odds of Echoes and Rain beforehand, to be honest. I thought she had a lot to prove in that company, but unfortunately I tipped Zana here, who came up second, but it was a fascinating race.
Yeah, well, it was pretty to watch. Echoes and Rain, I think, was too late. Very keen. She was even very keen to post. And I thought Patrick was very good. He just tracked Davy all the way and sent Sharjah about his business in the straight. Zanahir ran a very good race. I'd say it was a career best from him. He's in next Sunday week's Hatton's Grade. He'll go in it. I'm not so sure, but I'd say it was probably a career best from the second.
What'd you make of it, Juki?
Oh, I thought it was a bizarre race. So Zanahir didn't jump well, having jumped particularly well. He's a very good jumper generally. He was as a juvenile, and he jumped particularly well in Down Road. He made three or four clumsy mistakes around there, and I thought the tactics were absolutely bizarre. All the talk beforehand was, are we going to go up and trip with Zanahir? We're going to try and find out if he's a two-miler. Well, okay, but go and make it a good gallop, particularly on that track. I mean, Punchestown is a speed favourite track as it is. To just amble around like that and try to think you're going to do Sharjah for tow. I'm not saying he would have beaten him anyway. He would have had to jump better for a start. But I thought it was a very strange ride and certainly didn't give the horse an optimum chance.
That's why we like the strong opinion. Sean, you're a jockey. Davy Russell, should he have gone harder?
Well, look, I went around behind Zana here in the north on what I would have thought was a very, very speedy horse in Caskmate. Now, Caskmate is obviously a step below Zana here, and he probably didn't run maybe to his standard on the day. But we've gone slow on the day as well in the north. We've hacked away. I kind of thought halfway down the back, it's just playing lovely into my hand. We're going good and slow. My lad has won well on the flat on his previous run. And I got to the top of the hill, and my lad got a bit up at the top of the hill, and I probably got to him too soon. But from the speed we came down the hill down to second last hurdle, he's definitely not lacking much pace. We've hacked away, and we quickened the top of the hill, and we flew down the straight, and he quickened away from me like I was stopped, and he's won 10, 15 lengths in the end. So I don't think he's actually as slow as what people make him out to be. They're all saying he's slow if you go back to his run where he finished second to Jeff Kidder in the Grade 1 four-year-old champions in Punchestown. I just don't think he was there on the day, let alone be slow. He just didn't travel. He did jump, but he just looked slow turning to the straight, and he came home fine, but he didn't look as well as he does now. He's obviously had the year under his belt. I think just that wasn't his run in Punchestown. I think he's a lot faster than what people make him out to be. And I just think Sharjah's probably just a step above. He's got it all under his belt. He's done it all. And I'd say if he'd jump out and go a gallop, he'd have still beat him. Like, he can win off a strong gallop as well as he can win off a slow gallop. He's probably just done it a bit easier because he's able to hack around and use his speed down the straight. But I think the result might have changed the whole pile.
And speaking in the Racing Post, the headline from the Patrick Mullins piece, Davy Russell tells me he'll go on. I'll believe it when I see it, I think. And before I read this article, Sean, I presumed he was on about Davy Russell will go on as a jockey until he's about 50 or 60. But he was actually on about tactics in the Morgiana, because his comeback has been incredible for me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And funny enough, I read that headline as well, and I was like, oh, Patrick is hopping on a lot here. He's getting brazen, you know. And I read the article simply because of the headline. But that's Davy, and that's anyone, I think, in the same boat. If you can get out in front and you know you can stack them all up behind you, no matter what's behind you, realistically, bar you're riding to something very, very slow yourself, you can dictate away, you know. And I think Davy has done that and done it quite well, but he just didn't have the firepower that Patrick had on the day.
We're here to celebrate Navan a little bit. Juki, what does it mean to you as a track? It's probably the coldest place in the world, particularly this time of year, even though it's very mild at the moment. But I just love Navan as a track. I think it's very fair. Lots can happen in the straight.
Ah, yeah. I mean, it's a savage test. It's a beautiful place to go to. You just turn out of the town and then you're in the wilderness, basically. And I feel like the Curra could have learned a little thing from the design of the stand in Navan, because at the end of the stand, about a half a furlong from the line, they know the prevailing wind there. So there's a bit of perspex or something to guard against. As you said, there's a wind there at Skinya. And all the trainers all the people who go there regularly tend to congregate down there, which is a nice thing. No big screen, but they have TVs in the stand, which is perfectly fine as it is. You can just look up and you're protected from the wind. But you get to see some proper horses there on the flat and over jumps. It's a smashing track.
Yeah, I had a fall off the bike last week. I look a bit like Slippers Madden when he rode Operation Houdini in the Troy Town. First horse I was ever involved in. And the horse was cantering three out. Baroni won the race. But he ended up headbutting Slippers at, I think, the third last. And Slippers was unseated. The horse you knew well, Shawnee Flanagan, back in the day.
They all told me he'd never fall, but he'd unseated. Well, I tell you, I think he was on the ground behind me in Chepstone. I was looking back. I said, he fell. I got him on the ground at last. He was a very good horse, in fairness, too.
The Tri-Town, your sole victory, we don't actually have footage of this, your sole victory in the race was on 2A Paramy.
Yeah. Navan is a fantastic horse, and the day he won was a prime example of why Navan is a fantastic course. I very, very seldom go racing with the chest out a little bit, especially on the day like the Tri-Town, but I went there. Just in my mind, it was just go there and collect the prize. I thought he was the greatest moral certainty of all time. Why, I don't really know. He'd come to us fresh. He had a couple of runs over fences and all that crack, and he'd won a handicap chase at Galway. Like, you know, he'd won it quite well, but at the same time, Noel's horses that time of the year, they're flying, and he'd won it quite well. But his work at home, he was working like a horse you could run on the flat if you wanted. He was quick and jumped savage and done everything well. So I literally thought it was just a matter of going and picking up the prize. And I've gone, jumped away, everything fine. End of the back straight, there was just a big pile up for some reason. And it was only on the bend. Like, there was one lad just ran straight off the bend and I got caught in his outside and I ran into the back of somebody else and had nowhere to go. And it's just such a big forgiving track. I was just able to pull him back in, get around all the trouble, and I had oceans of time all the way down the straight. And he's won gone away. Like, you know, he's come back in his next run after that and won a grade two to Kinloch Bray below in Turles. But it was a great day now.
Put together a little montage of some of the Navan memories of recent years. Let's look back at some of the greats that have graced the track in County Meath.
James Stone Ladd and Paul Carberry, Barry Geraghty, now asking Lissapuere a serious question as they come down to the final flight. And Limestone Ladd is repelling Lissapuere as they come to the final flight. Over the last, it's Limestone Ladd who's 2.5 to 3 in front. Lissapuere tries again, but Limestone Ladd has got to win the Lismullen hurdle. Running up to the finish, it's another one for Paul Carberry as James Bow charge. Wins again, beats Lissapuere, who beat him in his last year, cleared of Catoon, and then comes Secundi.
The race now towards the second last fence, Moscow Flyer. Glenelly Gael being produced just as he was yesterday by Conor O'Dwyer on the near side. Rathgar Bow is third, clear from Fiery Ring at the second last. Moscow Flyer over in front. Glenelly Gael second, Rathgar Bow three. And now Moscow Flyer has been shaken up. Glenelly Gael been asked to quicken on the near side. Back in three is Rathgar Bow as they go towards the final fence. Moscow Flyer over in front from Glenelly Gael and Rathgar Bow. And as they quicken up towards the line, Moscow Flyer is going to quicken away impressively as they go up towards the line. The champion chaser makes his seasonal debut, a successful one under Barry Geraghty. Moscow Flyer takes the 4-3 at Chase. And second is Glenelly Gael, Rathgar Bow 3, and Fiery Ring for the 4.
Making the descent down now towards the final two, and Yates moves through between horses Valentina Guest and Clara Allen. Towards the outside, Reform Act and Cool Touch just in behind. Racing now to the final furlong, and Yates hits the front, goes on by a couple of lengths. Reform Act tries to go after him in second, then Cool Touch staying on the inside of Clara Allen. They're beginning the run now inside the last 200 yards, and it's Yates who's stretching on now under Shamie Heffernan and racing up towards the finish. It's the Gold Cup winner Yates striding away to win by 4 to 5 lengths. Yates lands the odds in consummate style, followed home by Reform Act. Cool Touch is third, and Clara Allen is fourth. Sacrosanct 5. Racing downhill now towards the second last, and Don Cossack comes up on the near side now to join issue with Sizing Gold, pushed along. The pair are way out clear of in third place Irish Thistle, and then Not for Changing, another Tempest Classic event. Two from home now, they're going to jump it almost together. Don Cossack on the near side just takes over now from Sizing Gold. They're a long way clear of Irish Thistle as they come now towards the final flight, and Don Cossack now beginning to go a couple of lengths in front of Sizing Gold, clear of Irish Thistle. The final flight, Don Cossack over from Sizing Gold second, and on the climb up towards the finish, Don Cossack is going to maintain his unbeaten run, and up towards the finish, Don Cossack and Davy Russell land the odds in great style, will win it by six lengths. Sizing Gold second, Irish Thistle will take third.
Yeah, and there were some NAB memories. And to be in with the chance to win a pair of tickets for a Fairy House Winter Festival, for the Fairy House Winter Festival, and a Racing TV jacket, email onthewireatracingtv.com. And the question is very simple. Name the horse on which Sean Flanagan won the Troy Town. Now, Sean, if you were riding in the race on Sunday, which you won't because you're injured, Noel Mead is represented by Snow Falcon, Two-Way Parmes. Five horses running on the card. All in all, what do you make of Two-Way Parmes, top weight, and the admirable 11-year-old Snow Falcon? We have you back, Johnny.
Yep. Look, like, his work and all was quite good, and everything that way is good with him. Like, his last run last year was in the English National. You know, he's jumped superbly. He just has plenty of weight, and that's all. He has plenty of life in him and all that, and his first run is obviously generally his best run of the season. You know, he's got the 5 pounds off his back. He's there with a fighting chance. It's a wide open contest. Like, if you gave me free rein to ride any horse in the race, I'd be sat down now for a while going through form, seeing which one I would ride. Snow Falcon. I thought he actually had a very good run in the Kerry National. He's jumped really well, and I've got caught for room turning in, and I've had to go wide down the straight. But he's run better than what he had been running. He's not a mad lover of big fields and handicaps and stuff like that. He likes a smaller field now. He's got that bit older, but he still has a bit of life in the tank as well, you know. But he's off a career low mark, I suppose, over fences. Whether it's low enough or not, it remains to be seen, you know.
And Johnny Mack, I remember we spoke about some of the old Troy Towns there, and I remember going there, it'd be really, really cold. The ground would be absolutely bottomless. Here we are in November, it's something like 13 degrees, and the ground is going to be good on Sunday, Johnny.
Yeah, a lot of these horses have midwinter form from last season, so it might be worth siding with something like Gordon's horse. The one Dennis O'Regan rides is a definite plan. It's been running through the summer, I think. That has form on better ground. The ground could be in that one's favour, will be in that one's favour.
What do you like, Juki?
Well, I didn't think it was loaded with obviously well-handicapped horses. Well, not that I could find, anyway. This 10-10. So he's gone up £8 for not winning, but he was in a rich vein of form when finishing second in a couple of very hot handicaps in the spring. Remains relatively unexposed. I mean, it's his first run of the season, but this is a big pot. You'd imagine if he's straight for this. And I didn't think he had to find a lot. He should go close anyway, and I didn't think he had to find an awful lot to win.
I'm going to give Lord Royal here because he's one of these horses that's essentially unexposed going into a race like this. And if you go back to his run in Navan, which is two runs back, when he had the big dog, a well-beaten third, and they were well clear of Deffy Blue in fourth, I think that's very kind of encouraging form for you to this race. And obviously last time he did a very tall order. But just talking about Noel Mead's five on the day, Sean, you were quite interested in Dawn of the West running in the opener.
Yeah, she, I rode her in a maiden at Down Royal, was her first run of the season. She had a couple of runs in the flat, and then it was first run over hurdles. And her flat form has peaked since that run. She's had another run over hurdles since as well. But I just thought that day she ran quite well, considering she jumped a bit slowly and had a bit to learn on the day. She seems like she's in good form, and her flat form will kind of have been a lot more forward now than what it was the time I rode her in Down Royal that day. So I just kind of fancied her. He's got Skull Run there as well. Dennis O'Regan rides him. He fell with me in Down Royal. Down Patrick. But I rode him one day in Leperstown, his first run over hurdles, on nice ground. He's by Presenting. And I think him on nicer ground, he might be just a little bit of a nicer type of horse on it, you know.
And I suppose the problem for Dawn the West is that Dawn the West taking on Ofe Laron, who's running for the connections that we mentioned, Noel Morn and Gordon Elliott. And Shawnee, we were quite taken aback by the declarations in the Monksfield Novice Hurdle, because Ginto and Hollow Games seem to be taking each other on, or at least both have been declared anyway.
Yeah, I was looking at entries there yesterday, and I saw the two of them entered, and I actually kind of had to flip the coin. I was thinking, well, I wonder which one of these they're on now. Just thinking that they wouldn't run both of them. But it's mighty for racing. Like, you need to see these horses. Yes, it's unusual that they're owned by the same person and trainer, to see them take each other on. But it's brilliant. It'd be actually something that I'd be looking forward to see in racing, to see which one will turn the trumps up. I think myself personally that Hollow Games was kind of more of an impressive type of horse in his previous runs. Ginto seemed to be a bit more laboured. I think going forward he'd probably want a fence in probably 3 miles. But it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully, I actually hope both of them run to see what to do.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Juki, when he's talking about, because this is not the quintessential Navan Troytown test in terms of what might win this, because this is fairly this is far more of a speedy test, which may suit Hollow Games.
Yes, possibly. I mean, you're still going to be running uphill for about 3.5 furlongs, but it's never easy in Navan. That's possible. Ginto could just be a horse who'll keep finding, though. He might just be keeping a little bit back for himself. And if he was underestimated in the market, it would depend how they bet it. I mean, Hollow Games will be favoured, and I imagine this is why they're doing it, is because they have an idea in their head that Hollow Games is the better horse. But if they run them in a race, they can find out and maybe decide which is their Ballymore horse, which is their Albert Bartlett horse. So I'm all in favour of this. Marvellous. Get them on the track.
Indeed. And we have Mount Leinster as well, Johnny Mac, running over fences. You'd imagine maybe the ground was slightly against him at Wexford. This is a horse rated over 100 on the flat, who was I suppose he's become a better flat horse really than hurdler, but has another chance for the beginner's chase, taking on the likes of Cadboy and Capguard at 320.
Yeah, he renewed his rivalry with Cadboy. I think there was only a head between them from that Wexford race back towards the end of October. Ground will be different. I just didn't think he looked the most natural over fences, Matt Leinster, and I definitely be siding with Sean's old ally, Liz Dyle's horse there, Cadboy. I thought he shaped very well at Wexford, and he good handicap form over hurdles last season.
What do you think of that race, Shawnee?
Yeah, it's a fair race. Like, Cadboy, I thought, was probably very unlucky the last day. They've jumped out at Mount Leinster, has gone a ferocious gallop all the way. Jumping left a little bit to be desired. The Wexford fence now would be a lot more inviting, and I suppose easier fence to negotiate than a Navan fence. And Navan fence, there's nothing wrong with them by any stretch of arms. They're a lovely, big, inviting fence, but they're big. Compared to Wexford, they're quite a bit bigger. Now, whether Mount Leinster would respect a bigger fence more than a smaller fence, this is something that actually happens at times. Horses, when they see a bigger fence, they respect it that little bit more and jump them that bit better. But he would have to do that. He would have to do that. If the same Mount Leinster turned up in Navan that turned up in Wexford, I'd struggle to see him completing, really. But I think I look at it, I fancy Liz's. He done everything well the last day, and his first run back of the season, so he'd probably improve a little bit from it, you know.
What are you liking the rest of the card, Juki?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you've probably done that race to death, and it's hard for me to disagree with anything that was said. Mount Leinster isn't an obvious type for chasing physically. And as Johnny Mack says, he made a couple of bad errors late on in Wexford. Now, Capard is the one I was thinking you should be getting a price better, because really, on hurdles form, even with the mayor's allowance, she shouldn't be getting close to the likes of Cade Boy and Mount Leinster. But Johnny, this race is not over hurdles. It's over fences. And who is Capard trained by? None other than Dr. Fence, the HDB. So we expect her to improve no end for going over fences. Whether she'll improve enough to overcome those two horses, I don't know. But you're going to get a price, and I'll probably find that price hard to resist.
Dr. Fence, I like that. Plenty of doctors on the fence in this podcast. One of them who isn't Johnny Mac, though. Johnny Mac, your thoughts on the rest of the Navin card?
Oh, God. Fleuron, I thought, was very impressive when he won one of those pound-to-pound bumpers for Dennis Murphy. The Morans bought it. He runs, I think, in a maiden hurdle. And, Sean, I'd like to get your thoughts on the Model Kingdom, Noel's filly, that one in Galway. Her mother, Fickle Fortune, was second in that bumper 9 years ago, I think it was. She was very impressive at Galway.
Yeah, does everything quite well. Straightforward enough, really, I suppose. Was very impressive the last day. Wouldn't have actually worked at home well enough, kind of thinking going forward. Oh yeah, but we were, when she turned up at the track on the day, did come forward. And you love to see that in any horse. You know, when their work at home is to a standard, and when they turn up at the races, they take that standard forward. That's what you love to see in anything. She would have improved a lot from that run the day she won. She had a level of work done, but there was still room in the locker for improvement. And if she was any bit of a price at all, you'd have to fancy her. I know Willie's horse is in there, and that was impressive enough the first day it won too. But I think the Model Kingdom will come on a bit from that run.
And just going to, before we look at the naps, and we have a graphic of the price boost on Bar One Racing, just briefly as well, Sean, Mare Quimby, the very well-named Mare Quimby, Dáil Céire, and the useful Harry Alonso representing the barn on Saturday at Gorn.
Yeah, Harry Alonso will improve. He didn't jump very well on his hurdle debut at Galway. I think they've worked on that quite a bit since. Now, the frustrating thing about it is his jumping at home was nearly above standard at the time, going to Galway, and then he went and disappointed a little bit. So it's going to be a little bit trial and error thing. He'll have to jump better than he did in Galway. Didn't jump very, very well at all. And what else did we say is there?
Mare Quimby as well.
Mare Quimby was just very unlucky in Galway the last day with me. Ran in Listowel and done everything well, and just seemed to fade away from the turn in home. And went to Galway then the last day. Traveled great, jumped great, and just very unlucky, I think, to bump into one more than anything else. Did battle well away to the line. Might just want a little bit more of a dig in the ground if it was at all possible. Now, she has had runs in bumpers on nicer ground. She's got some very, very good bumper form. But I'd like to see a little drop of rain coming. I know Gorn is yielding at the minute. And whether that would be slow enough for her or not, I'm just not 100% sure.
Yeah, it's really remarkable how kind of dry the ground is going into. We're nearing December now. And don't forget, to be able to chance to win a pair of tickets for the Fairhouse Winter Festival and a Racing TV jacket, email on the wired racingtv.com. That's a really, really good prize. And tell us who Sean won the Tritown on, which wasn't that long ago at all. Juki, what do you like on Saturday?
What do I like? Well, I only have one on Saturday. That's an excellent card in Gore, and all sorts of promising horses on show. But there was only one horse I thought I might back. I do have one for Dundalk on Friday as compensation,
yeah,
if you want it.
Throw it out there.
Okay. So the 6:30, John McConnell has a very strong hand in this race. That No Trouble is in rare form up there. But I will take him on with stablemate Delik Street, an unexposed three-year-old. Probably a little bit unlucky on his last run up in Dundalk, finished second, beaten half a length in a race where it seemed to pay to be on the pace, and he was held up. Very slight rise in grade on Friday, but he's an unexposed horse. He's only had 5 runs in his career, I think, and I will take him to overcome that rise in grade.
That's beautiful. John McConnell obviously going very well at Dundalk this year. The 3:23, the Mayor's Handicap Hurdle at Gorn. I thought that Cute Cherry was very interesting. Never travelled at all the last day, but was very strong at the end of a race. And I suppose the only proviso there again would be what Sean is saying. Will the ground be soft enough? But you have some specials for us, Johnny Mac, over the weekend with Bar Run. And what do you like on Saturday as well?
Geez, Johnny, that card at Gorn's a right card. Bob Olinger in the first, obviously. I mean, he's as exciting a horse we've seen go chasing in the last couple of years. There's the price boost, Linkfield and Wolverhampton across all channels on Saturday. Price boosting Navin on Sunday. So the likes of Hollow Games, I'd imagine, O'Fleuron, all those Ellie horses, they'll all be enhanced across platforms. And that card Navin, Johnny, that 4-year-old novice hurdle, San Felician, Brian Atchison bought that from think David Cotton's yard, Gerald Hurdle, and he cost. That looks a very good race at Gerald Novice Hurdle.
Yeah, I think the Robcore guys are quite they're publicity shy. I think we may get Brian on the show at some stage, but a bit like Noel Moore, and I like the way they just put their money where their mouth is, and they pay for these good horses. But it is time for the naps now, and we're going to start in alphabetical order. Juki, with your nap for the weekend.
Yes, in the 3:23 in Goran on Saturday, Miss Tempo. Now, this is Henry de Bromhead again. Very hard to get away from this mare. So she only fell in a Tremor maiden hurdle. And it didn't look like a particularly impressive performance at the time. But the second and third couldn't have done more to advertise the form since. And she looks absolutely thrown in off a mark of 103. I was glad to hear you mention one of the opponents there, because it's not a bad race for the grade. So I'm hoping I might get something around 2-1. To make her a bet, but she is very hard to get away from.
You'd get 3-4-1, I'd say, the race is that big. Would you? In terms of the field, I think so, yeah. And like, there are 4 or 5 runners you give a chance, but I was taken by why did she get 102 or something? Looked like she could get
103, certainly with what the second and third have done since, yeah.
Johnny Mack.
I'm going to keep it simple, Johnny. We're going to go with Kate Boy in the beginner's chase. Stick with Liz Dyle's horse. I think he'll turn around. He confirmed that Wexford form with Mount Leinster. I think there's a good race in this race.
And you got a good seal of approval from Sean Flanagan as well. The last time we saw Lord Royal, he was running behind Galvin at Cheltenham. But prior to that, as I said, that second at Navan behind Mr. Hendricks, when he did very little wrong from the front, four and a quarter lengths clear of the big dog. On that occasion, the big dog's a good horse. And I think Lord Royal coming in, he's just one of those lightly raced horses. I don't think it's the strongest Tritown in the world. So he'd get my nod for my nap. Shawnee, we're hoping to have you back soon anyway. You're as good as you are at this game. You're obviously better again in the saddle.
Well, sir, yeah, hopefully we'll try to stick at the saddle for a bit longer if we can manage it at all. And we'll keep the babysitting at a minimum if we can manage it.
Well, the one bonus, this is your two kids get to see more of you than they ever thought possible at the moment, I suppose. Yeah. There's one of them.
Hi.
Yeah. Saying hello. Hi. Yeah, they don't know what's going on. They ask every morning, when am I going back racing? So it'll be an interesting day when I tell them I am going back, but we'll get there in time.
And who is this?
This is LJ.
LJ, probably the coolest name person we've ever had on the show.
Oh, say hello, LJ. He's like me, he's a bit shy until he gets going.
LJ is going to be a regular, I think, on the wire going forward.
Yeah, you'd be on the wire the whole time, won't you?
Oh, yeah, using children for clicks is the future. That's absolutely the future.
Lovely to have you on, Shawnee.
Lovely hearing, lads. Thanks very much for having me.
Strange note, we're going to leave. LJ looks like he has a future in whatever game he wants to get into. And already, like most kids, Shawnee, he looks like he knows what a laptop screen is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're looking at yourself, aren't you?
Yeah. Thanks very much for watching. Don't forget the prize this week. Very good prize for that brilliant contest at Fairy House. That was On the Wire with Sean Flanagan, Brendan Duke, and Bar One's John McDonald, and of course, LJ.
Bye-bye.
This is On the Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
Thanks, lads.
Thanks a million, lads.
Good job.